Praise the Lord. Title of today's message is Shouting Time in Heaven. Amen. Shouting Time in Heaven. But before we get into that part of it, let's kind of go back into Scripture and let's look at some examples of where a shout was given. Think about in the book of Joshua, chapter 6, verse 5. And here the children of Israel have finally, after 40 long years in the wilderness, crossed the Jordan. They're at the doorstep of the promised land, and there's Jericho standing in their way. But God speaks to them. And here's what it says. And it shall come to pass that when you make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. God said, don't let that big wall there stand in your way. I'm going to tell you how to take it. And when you shout with that great shout, those walls are going to fall flat. And you're going to overcome Jericho. You're going to take possession of it. Continue in verse 20 of chapter 6. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. They took the city. You know, you just kind of think about it here. They'd been out in the wilderness for 40 years. They'd fought some battles. But they're facing a formidable object in front of them, this great walled city. And these people inside meant business. And yet, just following God's instructions, marching around the city, having the people standing on the wall making fun of them. Can you imagine for all that 7 days that they did this, those people stand up on, remember, this wall's thick enough that they build houses on top of it. They drove chariots on top of it. That's a pretty thick wall. And they're standing up there looking down. Look at those crazy people. They think that they're going to take us by doing this. Well, boy, what a surprise they got when that shout was uttered. And those trumpets were blown. And the walls fell down. And I kind of imagine, too, and it's not in Scripture, so this is Ken's imagination coming in here. But remember, there's one portion of that wall didn't fall. And that's where Rahab's house was. And can you imagine some of the people that are inside the city and they've just seen all these walls fall down flat in front of them and all of a sudden they realize, hey, what's happened with this one place here? Why? Because she helped God's people. And God honored that and spared her and her family and their house didn't fall down with the rest. But the shout went forth. There was excitement. Can you imagine? Now, I got to say, on the other side of the walls, on the inside of the walls, there was no excitement in the sense that, oh, man, it was woe is me, what has happened here. But on the outside of the wall, these people who've been marching around and they've had people making fun of them all this time are shouting for joy and say, praise God, the walls are down. We can take the place. God has given it into our hand. There was great joy. There was great gladness. There were other times. For example, in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1. And it says, and the word of the Lord of Samuel, and the word of Samuel came, let me start this from the beginning here. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. They're getting ready to do battle. Remember, there's one thing, though, that the Israelites always took into battle with them. The Ark. And, you know, if you read the scriptures in there, you find that there were some folks out there that they knew if the Israelites brought that ark, they just, for their own safety, better turn and run. And some of them did. So the Israelites are getting ready to do battle against the Philistines. And in verse 5, "And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang again." You know, if you shout, enough people shout together, it can cause the earth to vibrate. It can cause buildings to vibrate. When I was in the army, one of the things you learn in the army is to march. Boy, do you do a lot of marching. We weren't like the Air Force that got ride around and stuff like that. I know the Air Force had to march too. But we'd go march. Well, one of the things that they taught us is, you know, you're marching in step. You got a group of people marching in step, it sets up a vibration. You don't stop to think about it because you don't necessarily feel it. But it begins to set up a vibration. In times we would come to a bridge and this sergeant would yell out, "Break step!" And you didn't march in step anymore as you crossed that bridge. Reason why? Because marching in step was setting up a vibration. And that vibration could possibly cause that bridge to collapse. Don't stop to think about those things. But can you imagine this great people shouted in unison? May have made the Philistines' ears hurt, I don't know. But they shouted with excitement, with joy, because why? The ark of the Lord was in the camp. It was there. They knew that God's presence was with them. Let's go on. "And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, 'What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?' And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, 'God is come into the camp.' And they said, 'Woe unto us! There hath not been such a thing heretofore.'" Uh-oh, our goose is cooked. The ark of God is in the camp. They shouted because God's presence was among them. When God's presence is among us, we need to have a shout. We need to be excited. We need to have joy. But sometimes we sit there. I had a pastor back years ago, and one of his favorite expressions was, "We sit there like a pimple on a pickle." Cucumbers got little bumps on them. Cucumbers make pickles, for those that don't know, okay? Like a pimple on a pickle. We need to be excited. We need to be excited. We go to a football game and we get excited and we scream and holler and we came away hoarse the next day. I can't hardly talk, but man, did I have fun last night at that game. I remember going to church and we had shouting time on Sunday nights. Now most churches don't even have Sunday night service. But we had shouting time on Sunday nights. And I remember going to school the next day, because I was still in high school. I'd go to school the next day, and I was hoarse, because we'd been shouting on Sunday night. We'd been worshiping God. We knew His presence was among us, and we could feel His presence, and there was excitement in the camp. Hallelujah. Why did they shout? Because there was excitement. There was rejoicing because the ark of God was in their presence. King David wrote in Psalms chapter 47, verse 1, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph." We need to shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We need to let God know that we're excited about being in His presence. Amen. That same chapter, or same verse, except verse 1 and 2, and the Jewish Bible reads, "Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with cries of joy. For Adonai Elyon is awesome, a great king over all the earth." Some churches, if you clapped your hands, clap your hands, Brother Art. Okay, come with me, sir. You're disturbing the service. We're going to take you out of here, you know. Or some people, what you doing there, brother? Don't you do that in this church. Well, we need to shout for joy. Because God's presence. You know, when we need to do the weeping and wailing in church is when God's presence isn't there. That's a time we'd better start crying. And we better start crying out to God that His presence would be there. Well, that's just some examples. One more here that's not in my notes, but I remember back, you know, there was a time that the Ark of God got captured, was taken away. And the people who took it really quickly decided they didn't want it. And they gave it to somebody else who didn't want it either. And so they send folks out to bring it back, and they didn't do it the way the Bible said, the way God had instructed them to bring it back, and it ended up sitting in this other man's house for a while. Obed-Edom, I think it was, something like that. And while it's sitting there, he's getting blessed all the time, and all the people back in Jerusalem are saying, hey, David, King David, man, oh, he's getting blessed up there, and we're sitting down here not being blessed. He's being blessed because the ark's up there. We got to do something. And finally, they read the instructions, go get the ark and bring it back. And what does the Bible say? It says there was shouting time as they brought the ark back. They marched a little bit. They shouted some more. They marched a little bit. They shouted some more. David's wife kind of got ticked at him, though. She said, man, you out there making a fool of yourself, dancing in front of all those people like a crazy man. He said, I don't care. The ark of the Lord's in town. We're going to shout before the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, that's just some shouting time here on earth. But let's talk about some other shouting time, too, because there's other occasions where there was shouting time. Part of it was on earth and part of it was in heaven. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and you might say, hey, Christmas is several months away yet. Why are you getting into part of the Christmas story? But I'll tell you, there was some shouting went on back then. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, and to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And verse 31, and behold, the angel says, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now in Hebrew, he said Yeshua, okay? Just so folks don't get confused here. Thou shalt call his name Yeshua. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father, David. You know what? Doesn't say it there, but I kind of imagined, oh, Gabriel, he was getting excited there. He says, you're going to bring forth a son. You'll call his name Jesus, and he shall occupy the throne of his father, David. It was excitement. You know, angels get excited. We sometimes just think of these cute little things that we see in bookstores and stuff floating around, you know, their fluttery little wings. Some of them ain't so pretty, I've got to tell you that, because the Bible says so. And some of them are, but I'll tell you, they're powerful beings, and they get excited. Gabriel was excited, I imagine, as he's delivering this word to Mary. Well, just skip on a little bit further to verse 41, because Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is already with child. She's going to give birth to a son whose name is going to be called John. And he's going to be forerunner of the Messiah. God's already spoke to him and told him that. And they're excited about what's going to happen in their life. And Elizabeth is about 6 months along, I think, at this point. And it says that it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. There was excitement took place. Even that unborn baby John, he realized he was in the presence of the Messiah. And there was shouting going on even in the womb. You know, sometimes we don't think too much about that unborn child. A lot of people still call it an it. You know, and They don't consider it a person till after it's been born. I tell you, I got news for you. I believe that from that moment of conception, that's a human being that's taking place in there. He's in the formation and development, and he's a child that God is going to bring into this world. And yet some of us will have, without any thought or without any caring, destroy that unborn child. I don't care what you say, I think abortion is murder. There'll probably be some people listening to me on the internet that might not agree with me, but I don't care. That's a child in there. There's a trucking company, Covenant Trucking. I don't know how many of you have seen their trucks on the roads, owned by a Christian. And for years, I don't know if they still do, but for years, they had a sign on the back. It's a child, not a choice. It's a child, not a choice. There was excitement in the camp when Mary walked into the room and that baby begins to leap for joy in Elizabeth's womb because he knows he's in the presence of the Messiah. Hallelujah. Shouting time in the heavens. You see, the Bible tells us that that night, Mary and Joseph came into the city and there was no room in the inn. And they were shown to a stable, a manger. Whether it was a building or a cave, there's some dispute about that. Don't really matter. They were shown to that place and Mary gave birth to that promised child. The Bible tells us there was suddenly rejoicing in the heavens. Because shepherds who were watching their flocks by night saw the angels, and the angel appeared to them. And here's what he said. Luke 2:13-14, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Shouting time in the heavens. The angels rejoiced. They were up there and the shepherds saw them rejoicing. As they're singing, praise be unto God, the Messiah is born.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Got those shepherds all stirred up and excited, I'll tell you. They packed up and ran into town to find out where this Messiah was at. Shouting time. Bible also tells us that there's some other shouting times in heaven. Praise the Lord. We sang that song a while ago. It's shouting time in heaven. A sinner once lost is found. It's shouting time in heaven. Salvation has been brought down. No wonder the angels rejoice to know my sins have been covered by the crimson flow. And now I'm feeling fine. I'm walking on the highway with my Lord. My name's written down in the courts above. It's shouting time in heaven. Oh, yes, it's shouting time. What does the Bible say about some shouting time in heaven? It says in Luke 15:7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Verse 10 says, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner that repenteth. When you repent, when you give your heart to Jesus Christ, the angels begin to rejoice. They say, oh, look, brother so-and-so has repented. He's given his heart to Jesus. Shouting time going on up there. Angels rejoice. Rejoicing, rejoicing, rejoicing. Hallelujah. Maybe sometimes I try reading between the lines a little bit. Use my own imagination on some of it. But I believe according to the scripture that we just read, there's a lot of shouting going on in heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17 tells us about an event that's coming up where there's going to be some shouting take place. For it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from the heavens with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a shout. What an exciting time that's going to be. Now I have to say this. I don't think we'll quite have time to shout at that exact moment, because the Bible says it's going to happen at the twinkling of an eye. But boy, I'll tell you, when we get there, we're going to be shouting. We're going to go in shouting. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're here. We're here. We're here. You ever see somebody, they get to go someplace that they wanted to go, and they get so excited when they get there. We're here. We're here. Especially kids. We're here. We're here. We're here. Well, we're going to be like kids. We're here. We're here. We're here. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You know, those saints who've already gone on, come out of that grave. And you stop to think about it, that's not going to necessarily be any easy task either. You know, we think about, well, I got that body that's laying. Some of them, those bodies have deteriorated. Some of them have been incinerated. Some of them have been eaten by sharks. Some of them, their bodies scattered all over the place, but I don't care what's happened. The Bible says they're going to come out of that grave, and they're going to be raised incorruptible. They're not going to have to go through the things this fleshly, this earthly body has gone through anymore, because they're going to be given an incorruptible, a glorified body, and there's going to be shouting all the time. I know that in this earthly body, we couldn't just shout all the time. It tear us up. It wear us out. I'm getting tired just doing it right now. You know? But we shall be changed, and we won't have to worry about that, because we won't get tired anymore. We won't have to sleep anymore. We can rejoice in the presence of the Lord forever and ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We shall be changed. A preacher I knew years ago wrote a little chorus. We shall be changed. We shall be changed. We shall be changed. Changed from this mortal to immortality in the twinkling of an eye. We shall be changed. I don't care if you got a bad leg, a bad heart, a bad whatever. We shall be changed, and it won't be there anymore. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Another place coming up that there's going to be shouting time in heaven. Oh, that marriage supper. Praise the Lord. Revelations 19:9, it says, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Let's talk about, we don't particularly call them marriage suppers here. We call them receptions, because they may be different times of the day. Some countries, they have certain traditions, you know, and it may be all of them fall at certain times or whatever. I know, used to, if you got married here, you got married in the, you know, in the evening, and you had the reception. So it was kind of like a supper. Now people get married at all times of the day, you know, and if they're in Las Vegas, it could be 2 o'clock in the morning. It could be 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you know. But whatever. But marriages, receptions. Did you ever go to a marriage supper or a wedding reception that was all doom and gloom? Now somebody may have. There may have been some occasions like that. I can't speak for everyone. But most of the time you go to a wedding reception, what's it? It's joyous. It's a happy occasion. One of the things I enjoy watching on America's Funniest Videos is the wedding reception stuff that they do. And some of the weddings. Hilarious sometimes. I'll tell you one thing. I always enjoyed doing weddings more than funerals, because sometimes that one I was doing the funeral for never accepted Jesus to the best of everyone's knowledge, and that was not particularly a joyous occasion. But a wedding, everybody's excited. There might be a few people not too excited, you know. She stole my man and she got married to him, you know. Whatever, you know. But typically it's a time of rejoicing, partying. A lot of them get a little too drunk, too many other things, but it's a time of rejoicing. If you're a Christian, you have a Christian wedding. You go to it and you have a good time. You enjoy it. I remember Katrina's reception. Katrina got married in the month of May because it wasn't going to be as hot. And now after 100 and some degree weather around here for weeks, you know, we think back in California, especially living 20 miles or so from the coast, you didn't really get all that really hot weather sometimes, and month of May should have been good. Hottest May the 5th on record that day. We had planned to have part of the reception, part of the activities outside. We had to move it inside. Air conditioner in the church couldn't keep up with things. Candles melted, flowers wilted. But there was still a good time. There were still people rejoicing at that marriage supper that was taking place there. It was a happy and joyous occasion. I'll have to say, I didn't see Reese run around one time crying and bemoaning what had just taken place. And I don't think Katrina did either. Yeah. And they were excited and everybody was happy. And, you know, even people that you didn't necessarily get along with all the time, you were happy with and you were rejoicing. Well, think about it. This is going to be a sometimes at weddings, things do go wrong. I just mentioned some of them that went wrong at hers. And things can go wrong. Yeah. But at this marriage supper that we're invited to, nothing is going to go wrong. It's all going to be perfect. Nothing's going to go wrong. It's going to be a time of excitement. And I know there's some people here that will say, just like the disciples did when two of them's mama come and said, Jesus, could you see to it that one of my sons sits on your left and the other on the right? You know, it is a favor to me. And some of us say, well, I want to be seated so-and-so place. You know what? When you get there, you're going to be so excited. You're not going to worry about where you're sitting at the table, because I got news. It's all going to be close enough. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're going to be in His presence. And you're not going to have to worry about where you're seated at the table. Sometimes here, people get a little bit upset about where they're seated at the table. But you're not going to be worrying about it there. You're going to be, oh, I'm so glad I'm here. I'm rejoicing because I'm here in the presence of the Lord, and I'm going to be in His presence forever and forever and forever and forever, and then some more. Excitement that's going to take place. There's going to be some shouting time in heaven. Got some things to look forward to. But there's shouting going on in heaven right now, too. I imagine there's rejoicing when there's a move of the Holy Spirit in a church somewhere and people's lives get changed. And, you know, it says there's going to be shouting over, rejoicing among the angels over that sinner that repenteth. But you know what? I believe there's some shouting going over some other things. Look, brother so-and-so just got healed. Sister so-and-so, look what happened to her. Oh, look down there. Look. What's going on among my people down there? Rejoicing, shouting time. He's not just sitting up there saying, well, I hope they make it okay. But He's excited. Jesus is excited. The angels are excited. There's rejoicing going on in heaven. There's that shouting that's going on. The sad thing is, there's just not enough rejoicing and shouting going on earth. Sad to say. You know, when I was growing up, Pentecostal churches were known as the churches where shouting took place. Now, I know there were some shouting Baptist churches and some shouting Methodist churches and some of the others that there was some shouting that went on too. I didn't hear about them back then, but there was. And there was moves of God that took place. Didn't matter what the denomination was. If the people's heart was right with God and they loved God and they were willing to let Him move in their presence, there was some shouting took place one way or another. There was rejoicing that took place. But we were supposed to be the ones, the Pentecostals, the ones that did all the shouting. The ones that ran the aisles, walked on the back of the pews, and some other stuff that you probably heard about. But now it's sad to say you can go into some Pentecostal churches and you don't find much shouting. Go in there. You might feel worse when you go out. I've been to a few churches where I actually felt worse when I went out than I did when I went in. I told you about one the other night that I felt a lot less loved when I went out. Nobody would even speak to me hardly. I told you the only person that greeted us was another visitor. Hi, I'm visitor so-and-so. And I said, well, I'm visitor so-and-so too, you know. And we sat there and conversed with each other and were ignored by everybody else. But, you know, shouting time. We need to rejoice when we come into the church. We're in the presence of God. He said, as was told earlier, when with two or three are gathered together, He is going to be in our midst. And there's more than two people here today. There's more than three people today. So the Bible says He is in our midst. We need to be shouting and rejoicing because the presence of God is among us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Shouting time. There's going to be shouting. There's shouting time going on in heaven right now. There's shouting time to come in heaven, but there needs to be that shouting time here on earth as well. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm looking forward to that shouting time. And if you're listening to me today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but you'd like to participate in that shouting time, I want to tell you how. You can, because this message goes beyond the four walls of this church, goes out into the world, can be heard anywhere on planet Earth. And if you don't know Jesus Christ and you're listening to me today, I want to tell you how you can participate in that shouting time, that time of rejoicing that's going to go on for eternity, and that's simply giving your heart and life to Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that He died on the cross for our sins. He's already paid the price of our sins. It tells us that all we've got to do is come unto Him and say, Jesus, I repent. And that word repent means I'm sorry for. I'm sorry for my sin. You know, you can't help it that you were born in sin. Now, there are some sins that we commit that we could help. But we were born in sin. Jesus is here to forgive us of our sins. He says, call upon me and I'll forgive you. Come unto me. Turn your life over to me. Jesus, come into my heart. Cover my sins with your blood. The Bible says that when He covers our sins with His blood, they're put into the sea of forgetfulness and God remembers them against us no more. Sins I committed before I became a Christian, God doesn't even remember anymore. It's what He says. And when you accept Him into our heart, there's going to be some of that shouting take place in heaven because they're going to say, look, so-and-so came to Jesus today. Study His Word. Get into a church that teaches the Bible. Rejoice, for God's presence is in you. And I know some people that may listen to this message, you may be in a place where you can't particularly find a church. Maybe you're listening to me in some country that doesn't allow Christian churches. But you know what? God's presence can still be with you because I've known people that there was not a Christian around them when they came to Jesus. But God raised them up. God taught them. Allow God to move in your life. He rejoices over you. He loves you. He cares about you. That verse, John 3:16, is not in there just to make people try to feel good. It is to make people good. through God's presence. God loves you. Let's put it one other way. The King of the universe, the Creator of the universe, loves you. And I don't care how bad or how despicable some people may think you are, or how unloved you feel you are, God loves you. And He wants to be a part of your life. He wants rejoicing to take place over you. And Father, as we bring this message to a close today, I just pray, Father, that those who have heard this word today, those that will hear this word over the next few weeks, Father, as it goes out over the internet and by DVD, or CD rather, Father, that people would come to know Jesus Christ. Father, some may be down in spirit and they need some uplifting. Father, help them to realize if they just rejoice in You, Father, You'll bring new things into their life. Touch and change lives today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.